T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, hello, good morning, happy Friday, Bay Area, not the familiar first voice you hear, but it's familiar nonetheless. Dan Dibley is here. Lo Neal with an early shot at Joe Fortenbaugh, who is enjoying a long weekend with his family, doing what he does best, wine tasting and raising young chubs. The guru is in, Cousin Goo. What up, player?
I'm fired up. First cousin is in the house.
That second cousin, actually. Kerry Keating has been upgraded to first cousin. You've actually become second cousin once removed, but we'll get into that as the show goes on.
Oh, we need to talk.
We do. We can't talk with no donuts in front of you.
Not only that, Lo, but we have audio evidence as to why you have gone from first cousin status to second cousin status, and we'll get into that as the show goes on. Gary Parrish going to join us at 6:30 this morning. He's a great college basketball columnist. His mock draft almost spot on, by the way, from last night's NBA draft. We'll talk to Seth Everett at 7:30 and some baseball news. Herm Edwards at 8:05. The AFC West got a lot more interesting yesterday. Howard Beck at 8:30 talking NBA. Dave Cavill, A's president, at 9:05. Where will the A's build their new stadium? We're going to find out today at 9 o'clock, hopefully exclusively. Brian Baldinger at 9:30 with some NFL talk. Before we get into the NBA draft and what a busy night it was around the association, first we say good morning to Anna Kaganakis.
Well, good morning, and it was a really busy night last night with the NBA draft. Let's start locally, though, with the Warriors. For their second consecutive year, the reigning champs paid for its 38th overall draft pick, sending a reported $3.5 million to the Bulls in order to acquire Oregon big man Jordan Bell. Bell was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. Now we'll carry Bell's press conference live at 1 right here on 95.7 The Game. And GM Bob Myers talked about the current squad earlier on the NBA show.
I do believe we've created an environment. Steve's created a coaching culture that they want to be a part of. It's a free market, and a lot of these guys are unrestricted. I think they want to come back, and we'll be as aggressive as we can in getting them to come back. But the reason it's a little bit difficult to answer is it's not one or two guys. It's really 10.
Now, Golden State is reportedly getting another Duck, signing Oregon forward Chris Boucher to a two-way NBA contract after the senior went undrafted. Here's how the top five picks rounded out in the draft. 76ers get Markelle Fultz. Lakers pick Lonzo Ball. Celtics take Jason Tatum. Suns get Josh Jackson. And the Kings pick Darian Fox. Chicago and Minnesota also finalized the deal to send Jimmy Butler to the Timberwolves. On to baseball, Giants were down 12-6 in Atlanta, but mounted a huge comeback in the ninth.
3-2. Lifted out to left. Span's going to tag. It's 12-11 with Hunter Pence coming up.
12-11 would be your final. That was NBC Sports with the calls. They fall short to the Braves. The Astros swept the A's. Oakland now in Chicago to face the White Sox today. And the $125 million man, Derek Carr, his press conference is today at 10:30. We'll carry that live right here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Expand your comfort zone in the spacious Mini Countryman today at East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Visit eastbaymini.com, eastbaymini.com. I'm Anna Kaganakis is on your home for Oakland A's baseball, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Anna. Up in 10 minutes, we will go deep inside. We'll do a deep dive, as Brick says, on Jordan Bell, the newest Golden State Warrior, purchased and selected in the second round of last night's NBA draft. It's Joe Lo and Dibs, Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal, and Daryl the Guru Johnson in. Already on the text line, Guru, hardest working man in radio, Guru, off the air at 11 p.m., on at 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's a grind. I'm a grinder.
I love it. Yeah. And they're grinding in Philadelphia, Goo, after the news last night. Markelle Fultz going number one overall to the Philadelphia 76ers. We talk about winners and losers in the NBA draft. It's a little bit easier the night before, or the night after the draft, rather, as opposed to the NFL, where it can take years to figure out just how good these guys are going to be. What did you make of the top of the draft in particular last night?
A lot of talent and a lot of young talent, a lot of underclassmen, their dreams came true. A lot of offensive firepower. You look at Fox and Sacramento, Jackson to Phoenix, Tatum, and Ball in Los Angeles. But I will say this, being an East Bay native, it just felt good knowing that I did not have to stress or wonder what the Golden State Warriors were going to do, because they are at the top of the hill right now. And to watch all these teams scramble, O'Neal, trying to get where the Warriors are at, it was just a good feeling and all.
It really was. But what I think was interesting is watching the Warriors, how they just don't sit back and be passive. They're still aggressive. Everyone says this team is going to repeat and it's going to be a dynasty. And you have to look at the moves that they made last night. Yeah, you're right. They're at the top of the mountain, but they don't just settle there. They don't just settle on their laurels, Dibs. They go out and they say, let's address something. We talk about JaVale McGee. Here's a guy that's athletic, can fly and play above the rim. We love what he does. Zaza, tough, physical guy. You know he's going to grind. They're going to hit you, beat you, set hard screens, going to fight you. But they're not the answer. And this team knows that. So what they do, they go ahead and spend $3 million. They buy a pick. Go out and get the defensive player of the year. Go get a big man, a center from Oregon. That's a nice move. That's a team identifying some things that they need later on, because they see, hey, their cupboards is not bare, but they said, let's go out and let's go make a move. Let's stay ahead of the cutting edge. And that's what keeps this team. So it's a dynasty, in my opinion. Dibs.
More on Jordan Bell up in 10 minutes. But first, the big news, obviously, after Fultz goes one to the 76ers, is Lonzo Ball, as expected, goes to the Los Angeles Lakers as the second overall pick in the draft. Of course, the kid goes up, gets the handshake with Adam Silver, the commissioner, gets his interview. But we also, of course, had to speak with his father, and this is what he had to say.
How good is Lonzo Ball going to be for the LA Lakers?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Lonzo Ball is going to take the Lakers to the playoffs his first year. Come see me when he does. I have another hat on to say, I told you so.
I told you so.
Don King, that's a flag on the field.
Come on, Lo. Come on, Lo. Button up, Lo.
I know.
Button up.
Okay, sorry, Joe.
Thank you.
Don King has nothing on Mr. Ball. I mean, this guy, and the thing about it, though, is he knows someone's going to be right there to get rid of his hot takes or outrageous takes, and he's right there to provide it with them. You don't see everyone just sticking the mic in front of all the other athletes' face, parents' face. They're like, where's Mr. Ball? I got to find him because I know I'm going to get something crazy and ludicrous.
And that was courtesy of ESPN, of course. Right away he says Lonzo is going to take the Lakers to the playoffs next year. Forget who else the Lakers may have, and I know they're still in pursuit of Paul George, Guru. What did you think of the Ball show? Now that it's gotten to center stage, and now we know definitively where his son's going to be playing.
I got to tell you, from a basketball standpoint, I'm excited about Ball trying to bring Showtime back in Los Angeles. I just saw the great 30 for 30 with the Lakers and Celtics and forgot just how great and transcendent Irvin Magic Johnson was. And this is who this kid reminds me of. I know he has the Jason Kidd in him, but I can't wait to see him run. But his dad... As a father, fellas, I just love the fact that I know LaVar Ball loves his son. We know he's taking a page out of Muhammad Ali's book. He talked this into happening, that he was going to be a Laker. I know a lot of people, he's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. But at the end of the day, I think we need more of this, Lo. I think we need more LaVar Balls. And what is he really doing wrong that's affecting his son on the court? His son seems to know his position, what his dad's going to do, and he doesn't put him in harm's way. And I think he's going to use his dad's bravado, Lonzo is, to just take it out on the opponents on the court to where he doesn't disappoint the Ball name.
Let me tell you something. I get what you're saying. It sounds good. If you have a son and every time your son's up to bat or playing basketball and you're yelling, that's my son, there you go, y'all can't handle him, he's too good for y'all, all y'all kids, all your parents, watch out, and you're talking down, and all the kids get to see you perform like that, all the kids in the community get to see you, Guru, doing this, y'all can't handle my son, he's taking my team to the championship, and it becomes about you and your son, shots are fired. I mean, you got to realize what the other guys are saying in NBA. You're not dealing with kids. You're dealing with men. And you're already seeing tweets come out that we can't wait to see him play and we're going to get him. Because all his dad's doing, I understand he loves him. You don't think that those other parents love their son just as much as Mr. Ball loves his son? Absolutely.
Oh, no.
He is a man that loves his son and is going to always personify and praise his son, which is nothing's wrong with it. But in the way that he's going about doing it, he's bringing undue and unjust criticism, and he's going to have to play that much better because the guys in the league are going to be all over his butt. They're going to be all over him like a spider monkey. Dude.
Without a doubt, and all the attention will be on Lonzo Ball every time he takes the floor in his upcoming rookie season. It'll be interesting to see how
hard
he
fouls.
Handles it. Hard fouls, extra defense, trash talk, all that stuff's coming to him in spades. But the Warriors able to pick up a player of their own. They make a purchase and get an Oregon forward, Jordan Bell. We'll get into that next. Joe Lo and Dibs, Guru's in for Joe here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You know, we like Jordan. We've been kind of watching him like everybody else did all year long and kind of grew on us, his competitiveness, his work ethic, desire. You know, he helped them win. Obviously, their team had a great year, and he was a big part of it. But as far as how we think he helps us, athletic, switch screens, finish at the rim, you know, kind of a screen and roll guy. So activity, he was great. We watched him play in Chicago at the pre-draft. So there's a lot of things we like about him.
A lot to like about Jordan Bell, the newest Golden State Warrior, who will be introduced this morning at a press conference at 10:30 over at the Warriors practice facility. It's Joe Lo and Dibs, Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal, and Daryl the Guru Johnson in Joe Fortenbaugh, enjoying a long three-day weekend. Up in 10 minutes, Gary Parrish of CBS. He's a writer for CBS Sports. He covers the NBA. And his mock draft, a near-perfect 14 for 14. He had the players right. He had a couple of out of spots based on all the trades that were made. Gentlemen, the big news locally in the NBA draft, Jordan Bell purchased in the number 38 spot by the Golden State Warriors. The kid out of Oregon, the all-time leader for the Ducks in blocks per game, 2.2 blocks. He's a versatile defender. He's an athletic hustle guy. Guru sounds a little bit like a Draymond Green 2.0 without the ball handling yet.
Yeah, and he'll be a 3.0 once he learns under the tutelage of Draymond Green and guys like David West. I watched the tournament, and this guy jumped off of my TV screen. I mean, an explosive leaper. Everything the Warriors need, it's like now they have a surplus of Draymond Greens. I just got to give Bob Myers and company credit. I didn't see this happening. I thought they were just going to sit it out. And now you got a 6'8", 225-pound stud, led the Pac-12 in blocks. Dibs, I'm very shocked. And this is another astute move by the Golden State Warriors, and the rich just keep getting richer.
The thing that surprises me, gentlemen, is the fact that teams keep allowing the Warriors to come in and buy their pick. You've got a situation where clearly the Warriors know what they're doing, especially in the second round, Lo. You get Patrick McCaw via the same means. And I know Chicago is in dumpster fire mode. We can get into that more in a minute with the rebuild they're going through, having traded Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. But to openly sell your pick to Golden State and have them slide in and get the player, another player that can help them, you got to scratch your head around the league thinking, why do teams keep helping the Warriors?
I think the biggest reason you scratch your head, but then again, now I'm calling you Joe because you're in his chair, but biggest thing reason also, Dibs, you look at it and you say the why. People do it because they don't know what and why Golden State wants to be in that position. They don't know the young men, how they view talent. Golden State views talent different than a lot of different teams, and that's why they go after certain guys, a certain body style, a certain individual, certain chemistry, a certain makeup. They do a very extensive job making sure they bring in the right people for their organization. Here's a guy, this Bell kid, that can jump. He's 2 inches taller than Draymond Green. Draymond Green, we all know, is an overachiever. He can go down there and battle with the trees and jump with the trees and do all those things. Now you're going to take less stress, less pressure off of Draymond Green because you're going to have a kid who's 225. He'll probably put on 10 to 15 pounds, going to be 235 to 240 when the season starts. That is good for this team. And now it's going to depend on how quick his IQ, how can this guy catch up and understand the nuances of the game, how the Dubs do it. But they talked about he can switch screens and pick and roll and do all those different things that they're looking for to fit their system. He's athletic. He's a shot blocker. You look at this Golden State Warriors team in the center position, there is not a guy that you say, we got our guy. And no disrespect to Zaza and McGee because they can do certain things. McGee can fly above the rim, a lot of things he can do, but there are some things that he's limited. Now you went out and got a guy that's younger, that's got more upside than Zaza and Bolton, that has potential, that can do the same thing, jump, good feet, can shoot, do a lot of different things, and he has that effort that you're looking for. He has that hustle that you're looking for, and he actually fits the position. So I really believe they got a steal. It's a diamond in a rough, and all these other teams around the NBA, they don't look at talent in some of the ways that the Golden State Warriors do, and they make sure guys fit their system. And also, they have a coach in Kerr that is diverse enough to say, I'm going to put plays in for you, a la David West. He said, I'm going to make you fit this system, and I'm going to do things in our system to make you look good in it. And that's what he did with David West, and you see how David West flourished in this system.
Well, the Warriors do have a little bit of a luxury in that they can afford to get players like this because the scoring is pretty much already buttoned up with four of the greatest scoring players in the league. You don't really have a lot of holes. Guru, the big question that this leads me to is Kevon Looney and Damian Jones. What does it mean for the future of those two players, James Michael McAdoo as well? Younger bigs who've had some experience, and now you have another player into this mixer who's going to take away potentially some of your playing time.
Yeah, that's a great question, but also I'll add JaVale McGee to that list. I mean, he's a fan favorite, Lowe. I want him to stay, but with this pick, I'm thinking if another NBA team throws, you know, some big money at JaVale, this may be the door, the exit door for him to be gone. I don't want that to happen. But my gosh, this guy's a young dog.
You had to protect yourself, Guru. You're spot on. The Warriors looked at this and said, $3 million, we're going to pay for this pick. And if someone gives McGee $10 million or $12 million, we're out the picture.
Which could happen.
We talked about it, Dibs, that it could happen. Another team can say, we want to give him $12 million. They just solidified it for $3 million. So Zaza or McGee, one of those two are not going to be here. We understand that. So you still can keep now what you did. You insured yourself by still keeping West because West is a guy who wants to continue to win championships. You're talking about Looney. Now you still have Looney who could possibly still be at that center position. And now you bring in another young guy.
Wow.
So I think that now if something were to happen to Zaza or JaVale McGee, you have that safety blanket in place, Dibs.
Additionally, they have signed undrafted senior Chris Boucher out of Oregon. 6'10", he averaged 11.8 and 6.1 rebounds. He, of course, suffered a torn ACL in the Pac-12 semifinals against Cal. He didn't play in the NCAA tournament, causing many people to jump off Oregon's bandwagon, yet they still made a deep run to the Final Four as well. He actually signed a two-way contract, which is what the NBA is allowing now. Rosters can grow to 17 players, with two players having two-way contracts between the G League, Guru, the Gatorade League, which is formerly known as the D League, and the NBA itself. So Boucher signing one of those two-way deals. So Santa Cruz fans can likely look forward to seeing Chris Boucher once he's fully recovered in Santa Cruz. Gary Parrish is a CBS writer for the Game of Basketball. We'll get his thoughts on the NBA draft, winners and losers. Next, it's Joe Lowe and Dibs, Guru in for Joe on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Joe out, Guru in. Before we get to Gary Parrish, Anna, don't take off those headphones. don't go looking in that closet. You ain't got nothing in there. Jesus and Zeus? Please explain.
So you have LeVar Ball who said, I told you from the words of Zeus and Jesus, everybody said he gonna be a Laker. Talking about his son, Lonzo.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's love it.
Zeus of all people.
And you look at Lorenzo over there, God-fearing man, son of a preacher.
Bible on the desk.
It hurt me.
Yeah.
It hurts me when he just throws stuff out there like that. And just why? For what? For who?
Attention.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Anna.
He's getting plenty of it. He's getting plenty of it.
He sure is. The number two pick in the draft, Lonzo Ball to the Lakers. Time to bring in an expert, Gary Parrish, college basketball analyst and writer for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS. Gary, I was looking at your mock draft this morning, and last night you had a little bit of a perfecto going early. Were people staying away from you in the media room knowing that your mock draft was perfect early on?
Yeah, it was working out okay, and I don't really think that's got anything to do with me as much as there were a clear, you know, top five, and then there was a clear probably top 13, and though it was debatable which order they would go in, it sort of seemed like, yeah, these 13 players are going to come off the board, and then now let's start drafting and figure out where we're at. And that is actually how it went. It doesn't always go that way. Last night for mock drafts, including my own, was better than most, but you usually have a red marker all over it, and it wasn't so much that, last night. It was pretty good.
Yeah, you nailed the first five, and it wasn't until the okey-doke at number six and then the trade of Jimmy Butler that cleared the way for Markkanen to go seven to the Bulls. We'll start at number two with Lonzo Ball, and you heard the comments from his father last night and the remarks we just played coming in and our update gal talking about Jesus and Zeus. Just how much of a distraction factor and how much of a detriment will LeVar Ball be for Lonzo in his rookie year?
You know, I think he distracts everybody else more than he distracts Lonzo. I mean, what you have to remember is that though most of America has only known about LeVar Ball and listened to LeVar Ball for about 6 months, Lonzo and those other kids have been doing it their entire lives. Like, they've never known a different father. They've never known a quiet father. I actually met LeVar and Lonzo and the whole family like 3 years ago. I was out in Vegas at a summer AAU event, and I was just intrigued by the story on the surface. I knew that you had a husband and wife, AAU team, where their oldest child was obviously good. That was Lonzo, committed to UCLA. But then you had like a 13-year-old playing with them as well. And it was interesting because not only were they different in age, they were different in size. Like Lonzo was 6'6", and LaMelo, who is now like 6'5", at the time he was like 5'7", 5'8". I mean, they're just a little bitty kid out there. And so I didn't know anything other than that, but that interested me. So I went and watched them play, and then after we talked to LeVar, and I will tell you, he is exactly today what he was back then. I just didn't have a ESPN camera pointed in his face. But I was blown away by his arrogance, but also just showmanship. And that's what he is more than anything else. He's playing a character, and everybody's into it.
Gary, we're going to put you on hold and see if we can't grab a better connection with you as we're losing you a little bit there as he travels toward Chino Hills, perhaps, Guru, the home of the Ball family.
Yeah, I'm still stunned. 14 for 14?
He was hot.
He had all
the players right, but not on the correct teams. He had the top 14 coming off the board. And with trades, especially with the NBA, it's almost impossible to get all those picks right. I think we have Gary Parrish back. You were talking about the early days of the Ball family.
When I met him, I was blown away by his confidence and his showmanship and just this larger-than-life character. And so what I saw back then is what people are seeing right now. And while I recognize that he said some wrong things and some things I would have never said, and I wouldn't let him run my shoe company if I owned one, I do think it's interesting the way he's been sort of turned himself – the way he's turned into the devil, because though a lot of it's self-inflicted – at the root of LeVar Ball is a man who, you know, married his college sweetheart, had three boys, raised them to be intelligent, thoughtful, terrific athletes. He's played an active role in their lives. Like, all things being said, he's been a pretty good parent, a loud parent, but he's raised his boys in a pretty admirable way. And so on that level, at least, I think he's done a pretty impressive job. I just, like the rest of America, wish he'd probably quiet down a little bit.
It's just, what does that say for a man? I totally agree. His kids, you look at him, you look at Lonzo Ball, I mean, you look at his son, the way that he handles himself with the press. Good kid. I couldn't agree with you more. But how polarizing, what does that say about a man who can get the king to talk, fire at him, say things, keep my name, my kids out of your mouth, when he's getting LeBron James? Doesn't that say a lot about an individual who has nothing to do with the game, can determine, help determine any outcomes of any NBA game, still can get LeBron to take shots across the aisle?
It's interesting because I don't think we've ever seen a parent like this. Like, I was talking to people in recent weeks about, like, did we know who Kevin Durant's father was when he got drafted? Did we know who Anthony Davis's father was when he got drafted? The idea that LeVar Ball turned into the star of the 2017 NBA draft class is pretty remarkable. And I will say, like I told you, I wouldn't have said a lot of the stuff he said or acted the way that he's acted.
Sure.
But if his goal was to get attention and try to establish a brand and make everybody talk about the Ball family and the big ballers, well, he succeeded in that regard. Again, I don't know that it's all wise, but it has been effective.
Gary, where do you come out with this one-and-done scenario in college basketball? Because there's a lot of talk going on, and if you look last night, there were a lot of underclassmen that got their name called. And I'm just wondering, do you think the NBA or college could do away with this rule?
Well, you're exactly right. Last night was a 16 freshmen drafted in the first round, which is a record. And so it sounds outlandish, but it makes a lot of sense because by definition, if you're talented enough to be in the NBA as a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, you're probably already there. The only guys who are essentially forced into college, even if they're super talented and ready for the NBA, or at least ready to be picked by an NBA franchise, are high school seniors who become college freshmen, and then those college freshmen become draft eligible, and last night is the result of that. It's an NBA rule, not anything to do with the NCAA. The NCAA has no control over it whatsoever. I will say that Adam Silver, the commissioner, has stated recently that he is not in love with the idea of these kids going to a college campus for 8 months, basically taking a semester's worth of classes, and then getting on with it. He understands the way it looks for institutions of higher learning. I mean, it's all a sham. The idea that, De'Aaron Fox and Markel Fultz and Jason Tatum and Josh Jackson ever belonged on a college campus is kind of ridiculous. So I think they've got to move in either direction. I'm personally for what would be the baseball rule, which is if you're immensely talented, or even if you're not and you want to go, I don't care. I'm going to worry about my kids. If other kids make mistakes, I'll let their parents worry about that. But I've never been concerned with saving, making bad decisions. 18-year-olds make bad decisions all the time. Some of them move to L.A. to join a band. Some of them quit school to bartend. And if some of them decide to enter an NBA draft at a high school when they don't belong there, well then they'll just join that long list of ill-advised decision makers. But if you want to go. It's fine with me. And if a franchise wants to take you, let the franchise take you. But if you skip out on the draft at a high school, then you are removed from draft consideration for 3 years, which essentially means you're probably going to do 3 years of college basketball. I think that helps everybody. It allows NBA franchises to better evaluate these young people they're going to invest, in some cases, tens of millions of dollars in. But it also allows some familiarity with college basketball. Like right now, if I told you or anybody who doesn't probably cover the sport for a living to list the most likely 5 first-team All-Americans next year, you've got no idea because everybody who's good at college basketball leaves college basketball just as soon as they can. So it creates some familiar faces for the sport, and then it also keeps people on campus longer than 8 months, which at least makes the term student-athlete look a little more reasonable.
And would make the general college basketball population a little bit more comfortable getting to know players a little bit better. Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
You as well. He also hosts the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM in Memphis. Follow him on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. Follow us on Twitter at 957thegame.com. We're just putting up a question about what Gary talked about, the idea of one and dones go away. Up next, Derek Carr, his extension is done. Big press conference today at 10:30. What does that mean for the immediate future of the Raiders? We'll discuss. Jolo and Dibs with Guru in for Joe on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Here's Derek Carr faking a run left, rolling right. Now he avoids a sack, breaks a couple of tackles, runs away, throws down the field, and open Michael Crabtree with a leaping catch at midfield. Again, Michael lost his helmet on the play, but that was pure Derek Carr.
Oh, there it is, Lo Neal. Football highlights, our very own Greg Papa, the call here on 95.7 The Game. The home of the Oakland Raiders. You know, with this NBA season behind us, Lo, I know we got a ton of baseball, but football, you can almost smell it, Coach.
Not only football, I smell some new money and big money. My boy from Fresburg, man, got it done. $125 million. Absolutely amazing. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. The franchise, the fans, the team. Everyone won in this situation, Dibs. Great time to be a Raider and a great time to be Derek Carr.
He's all the way up, as they say, Guru. 5-year, $125 million deal. Derek Carr to meet the media this morning at 10:30. John Dickinson, Super Reporter, will be there, and we, of course, will be covering it here on 95.7 The Game. But, Guru, when the details came out yesterday, I know you were on the station last night, but what did you think of the big deal for the quarterback, Derek Carr?
I think he earned every dime of this contract.
That's a lot of dimes.
Yeah, and dollars too. And to steal a line from Kendrick Lamar, this is a very humble guy. Derek Carr is real. He gives it to you. He gives you all he has. And I just think the Raider organization, led by McKenzie and Davis, could not have a better guy be in the face of their franchise. You look at last year, 28 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Had he not got injured, who knows? AFC championship. But with this contract, Dibs, now I believe you're in that Tom Brady territory to where you're not going to catch anybody by surprise. It's expected. Results are expected. And Derek Carr right now, Lo Neal, is the face of the Oakland Raiders.
That he is. And it's going to be interesting just to see how he mans up, how he leads. He's already leading, but there's going to have to be a reckoning now. They understand you paid this man this type of money. He understands the clock starts now and the window starts now. He has to make sure that he can will this team to victory. He's got to make sure that he still plays within himself. Because you paid, now you don't have to make the longer throws. What got you here? Remember the fundamentals. That's what I want to, at this press conference, what I'm looking from him is saying, I'm still going to be the same guy that you guys seen every Sunday. I'm not going to change my preparation. I'm not going to change the attention to details. I'm not going to change my leadership. Just because now I'm the highest paid guy in the league, nothing is going to change because I believe that the course that I choose to follow is going to merit a Super Bowl that's going to win us a championship. And I want to give the city of Oakland and the Raider faithful a Super Bowl before we take that trip to Las Vegas.
And machinations in the day may have turned things in the AFC West a little bit, gentlemen. Not only the Derek Carr news of getting the 5-year extension, but an absolute bombshell coming out of Kansas City as the Chiefs and general manager John Dorsey appear to, quote, mutually part ways, which, of course, is usually anything but mutual. This comes 5 weeks after letting their assistant GM take another job, 2 months after the NFL draft, 5 months after the end of the season. And, oh, by the way, Andy Reid gets a 5-year contract extension. What's going on in Kansas City, Guru?
You know what, Dibs?
Can you turn the mic on, please?
Yeah, throw the,
yeah, there you go. Get him, Dibs. Don't let him off the hook.
Error-filled first hour. We're moving backward here.
There is some dissension among the ranks, and ownership went with the coach, Andy Reid. And he parlayed that faith in Andy Reid into an extension. And the fact that we still got Alex Smith, or they have Alex Smith as their quarterback, and you just drafted Mahomes, the young stud, I'm wondering if we're going to see a passing of the torch ASAP. Like, you know, we're going into this season thinking Alex Smith is the quarterback. He may not be the starter, and something is off here. You talked about the assistant GM getting another job. Something is off, and Kansas City may be looking at the Raiders in this deal, and what they have at quarterback is something that the Chiefs, they want. They're lobbying for it, and right now that may be what I believe led to this move.
It's a shocking move because Dorsey, widely regarded around the league, and the word is out of Kansas City that Andy Reid most likely will not step up and be in charge of player personnel. In fact, they will bring in a general manager who will report to the owner, Hunt, and this is yet to be determined as to who the candidates would potentially be. But, Lo, this sort of upturn, not quite upheaval, but definitely a shakeup in the end of June, how might this affect the team as they get ready for camp in a month?
Well, people say what pressure does to a pipe, it usually busts it. And here's a situation where you look at Kansas City and you got to go through the process and look at the events that's transpired. One, when I ask you guys, what is a GM, what is a GM's purpose and what is his rules of engagement and what does he do? He is to bring in players, and then what is he to do with those players? Turn them over to the coach. And the coach's job is to coach them and to get them ready to win games. The GM finds the talent and scouting department, the talent, they find the talent. They bring it in. You trust the process, gives it to the coach, and the coach now is he is the chef, and he's to make that product work and fit together just like you make a good soup. And what I've taken away from this is you see the GM probably brought in Alex Smith, and not necessarily Andy Reid said, this is my guy. Bring him in, gave him the talent. Alex Smith, the last couple of years, he's played good, but he hasn't played great. Hasn't necessarily won a lot of playoff games. When they had a defense and all the things around him, everyone's saying Alex Smith in tough games and in the playoffs with the defense, one of the best defenses in football, one of the best defenses in football, decent offensive line, decent running game. Why can't they get over the hump? What do they do? Andy Reid unhitches his wagon to Alex Smith, says, draft me this young quarterback. I need someone who's going to be more dynamic, more explosive, and thus we are going to be experienced. Andy Reid now gets a 5-year contract saying, I love you, Alex, but I'm not hitching my wagon to you. And that's why I think you've seen a GM get fired. You saw Andy Reid get a 5-year extension. You're bringing a new young quarterback who can run, who can scramble, who can throw, and is a little bit more explosive than Alex Smith. I think a lot of pressure is on Alex Smith this year to perform and perform at a high level.
Well, they've done great since Andy Reid's gotten to Kansas City, a 43-21 record. Andy Reid, 4 years in Kansas City. That's pretty impressive, winning 22 games above 500. In fact, over the past 26 regular season games, the Chiefs are 22-4.
Amazing.
Process that for a minute. 22-4 over the last 26 regular season games, including 11 consecutive AFC West victories. Guru, with those stats being rolled out, is there any way you can look at the Raiders and think that they're the favorites in the AFC West?
Yes, because not one time did you mention postseason, and that's where Alex has problems. He can take you there, but he can't get you over the hump. And we've seen this play out in San Francisco to where they chose Kaepernick. You look at the Chiefs right now, I get maybe they're very excited to turn the page and give the keys to the car to Mahomes. I just don't trust Alex Smith in the postseason, Low, and I feel like we got a big body of work to justify it. He's a good regular season quarterback, but when the push comes to shove, he's just not that guy.
In the playoffs, Dibs, you know it. Expectations rises. Bigger plays happen. People take their game to the next level, and the playbook is even more diverse. Because you know you got to be more explosive. Kansas City and Alex Smith, they stay the course and they don't change. And in playoffs, there's more wrinkles.
Yeah, tougher throws to make, tighter windows. Sure. Certainly, you know, contact allowed downfield. Receivers don't quite get the same separation. I don't think that we should throw dirt on the coffin of Alex Smith's career
yet. No, you don't.
Nice quarterback, good piece. Yeah. And what they've done, 22-4 over the last 26 regular season games. This is a team that definitely will have to be reckoned with. The preseason MVP odds are out, courtesy of Bovada, and our very own Derek Carr, Guru, the third choice as MVP. Tom Brady 4-1, Aaron Rodgers is 7-1, Derek Carr listed at 9-1, just ahead of Dak Prescott, Ben Roethlisberger, and Russell Wilson. Derek Carr, third choice for MVP. Your thoughts?
It's just another compliment to what Derek Carr is as an NFL quarterback in such a short amount of time. This guy has what they call low kneel, arm talent, throws one of the best balls. But for him to be number three, I mean, that just signifies there's a changing of the guard here when you talk about young gun quarterbacks. Right now, Derek Carr is that guy.
Outstanding stuff. Derek Carr getting the 5-year, $125 million contract extension. He'll officially greet the media this morning at 10:30, and we will be there here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, Alex Smith, 66-1 for NFL MVP alongside OBJ, Rob Gronkowski, Ryan Tannehan, J.J. Watt, and Jameis Winston, all also listed at 66-1. Up next, we're going to step aside for just a couple of moments and come back and get back into the NBA draft, talk about winners and losers. Lonzo Ball goes to the Lakers. LaVar Ball guarantees that those Lakers are off to the playoffs, and the Warriors have done it again, buying Jordan Bell, purchased in the second round. We'll get into that as well. It's Joe Lo and Dibs. Guru is in for Joe right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.